Happy Big Monday morning, Cyclone Nation. Chris Williams here, joined by the one and only grizzled veteran hack blogger, senior hack blogger at CycloneFanatic.com, Rob Gray. Hello, Rob.
Hello, Chris.
What's up?
Just had an interesting Friday and a very happy weekend.
Good.
I mean, obviously a tough game for the Cyclones.
As you said, what are you, Kansas State fan? Yeah.
No, just there were a lot of good things going on in my life on the weekend, but
that's very good.
Tough one for the Cyclones, obviously.
A lot of good things going on at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center as well, who
always
bring us this podcast. They bring us our game chats that have been wildly popular this year, as always. We'll have a game chat launch tonight at around 7:45, as you and I will both be at Hilton Coliseum for the Iowa State-Oklahoma game. A crucial, maybe I'm blowing that out of proportion. We'll talk about that for the next half hour or so. But I do want to thank the Iowa Clinic Men's Center, iamenscenter.com. Check them out today. They've got that new ad. Have you seen their new ad on our website? It's got the vasectomies prevent
minivans. Oh, yes, that's great.
Good. Yeah. It's good. They got a great creative team over there at the Iowa Clinic. So thanks to them. IAMenCenter.com sent me a nice little care package for my daughter.
Very nice.
They sent her a blanket with her name on it.
Yeah, and soft, I presume.
Nice. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And then they had some pacifiers. Good people over there. Love my friends at the Iowa Clinic. All right.
Very thoughtful.
So Iowa State loses at Kansas State. Really, I feel like, Rob, it's a similar scenario to what we've seen in a lot of these losses this year. Not all of them, but where Iowa State plays very well for about 30 minutes or so. Now, I thought Saturday's game was weird, though, because they play well for 5 minutes. They play horrible for like 1 or 2 minutes, play really well again. It was kind of an up-and-down, topsy-turvy type game. And then, you know, frankly, Iowa State just lost its mind. Yep. Lost its damn mind at the end of that game. From the Jameel McKay tip-in that I think negated the basket. I don't know if that would have gone in or not.
Yeah, it was hard to tell. I replayed it a few times, and it was really – it's hard to tell in slow-mo whether the ball's going to spill out the side or whether it's actually going to curl back in. But
from that to the – Hogue had some crazy turnovers, I thought, at the end of that game. George Niang in the pass, they just lost their mind. It crunch time, similar to Baylor, really. Similar to what we saw against Texas, except Texas and Baylor were hitting shots. I think that, I credited those teams. I'm more with the Kansas State game faulting Iowa State, I think. Iowa State lost that game. I don't think Kansas State really came out and won it. I think Baylor won the game. I don't think Iowa State lost it, if that makes any sense. So
no, it does.
Yeah, so I don't know. That's where I'm at. I guess I'm still not – I'm not in panic mode. There's not – this is the first time all year they've lost consecutive games. So, to me, I guess my big question isn't even basketball-wise. It's you can mask chemistry problems. You can mask bad attitudes when you're winning. It's easy. How do these guys respond to two straight losses? And you're going to have a top 15 team in Oklahoma coming in tonight. That's my analysis on the weekend. Where are you at?
Yeah, I'd be shocked if they didn't respond with a lot of fire. But here's the thing with the chemistry, and this is what separates, you know, the decent to good teams from the great and elite teams is, look, human nature is your chemistry is going to be great when things are going well. When things go south and the chemistry goes south, that tells you you have at least a little bit of a chemistry problem.
Yeah.
I didn't really see that happening with this team until recently. I mean,
so you are seeing it now.
I think a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I think when guys, I also replayed that inbounds where it looked as if McKay was going to dart toward Niang, and then he took off the other way. McKay was already breaking the other way when the pass was made. I think that there maybe are some, maybe it's minor trust issues in terms of what guys think the other guy is doing. That's the only way I can explain. That doesn't mean they don't like each other. That doesn't mean. And of course, I don't know. I think this team's really tight, and I don't think, you know, when Naz Long, who's a stand-up guy, is we've been around, comes out and says how tight they are, that you know, he's making that up.
No, I agree. It's,
they really are. I think – look, every Iowa State team under Hoiberg has gone through some tough times, and we've touched on it ad nauseum about how they went through the tough times to close the regular season last year and by really, truly should have lost three straight games going into the Big 12 tournament.
They
didn't
lost?
Deserve to win that Oklahoma State game. Naz saved them.
Didn't they lose 4 or 5 at one point last year too?
It might have.
Yeah.
You know, 11-7. Now they're 10-6. They got a chance to finish up pretty strong. I think the thing with them is, look, they're the way they're built, and unless you can populate your lineup completely with McDonald's All-Americans, and even if you can, like Kansas, you still struggle at times. You can't dream of going undefeated with 1, 2, 3 losses and constantly be considered an elite team. But I think you can. They're still an elite team in the sense that they can go out and beat anyone. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if they made shots. I mean, if they're making shots and they're defending like they were defending, as you said, off and on in the Kansas State game. What was telling in that game to me was they got up big, let them back in. Got up by 14, let them back in. Got up by 12, cut it down, 12 again. Then it's a game. That's where, you know, life on the road, you know, I still think the chemistry is a work in progress, but I think we were thinking sort of the same thing at the end of the last regular season. Everybody looked cohesive, and then they lose two in a row, and they need the Naz play and other plays, too, to pull that out of the fire at home against Oklahoma State, and then, okay, let's see what happens. And then all of a sudden it looks like they're all joined at the hip, and the brain waves are all correlating at every single moment, and they make that magical run. So I don't think there's any reason at all to panic. I think this team is built to be a team that can make hay, you know, get on a roll and do it when it counts. And I still think they can do that.
I think they need tonight big games from Hogue and Dejon Jones. Fitting, too, that it's senior night.
Mm-hmm.
But Dejon Jones only played 12 minutes on Saturday. That's insane. Just
he looked out of sync.
Well, think about it, though, Rob. Think about it in October. I mean, you and I and pretty much everybody thinking this guy is the Big 12 newcomer of the year. Mm-hmm. I mean, it'd be a upset if he's not. That's what I thought, at least.
Yep.
And now he's playing 12 minutes in a game. So, and I'm not giving up on Bryce Dejon Jones. I'm just pointing out, like, you need something good to happen to this guy, you know, just for positive vibes heading into March. And I think Dustin Hogue, too. I mean, you've seen two games in a row now where he's really struggled mm-hmm. with the mental aspect of the basketball game. Sure, he's hitting some three-pointers, and that's all fine and dandy, but he's not doing some of the things that made him Dustin Hogue last year mm-hmm. now. And those are two guys I'm really zeroing in on tonight. Hopefully they can kind of turn things around for Iowa State.
Yeah, I think Dejon Jones is I don't want to say that's bound to happen a little bit when you're coming off the bench, but I mean, he was just a little bit off, you know, there'd be that turnover or there'd be that, you know, not quite trying to crash the boards at the right time or, you know, passing up an open three to create a more difficult long two. I mean, there was a little bit of that. And I mean, it was clear that in that game that he was not going to be a guy gone to down
Correct.
The stretch.
And this is Fred. I mean, this is how Fred coaches.
You're going to, you know, whatever, hot hand, coaches by feel, as he says. And I think they had the guys out there in that game. You know, just like I said, a couple of crazy laps. I don't understand a few of the turnovers. They take care of the basketball so well for most of that game. And then it's as if that's where I think – and when I said trust, maybe it's just communication. And that's what I mean by trust. I think some people hear the word trust and they think that guys are down on each other.
Yeah.
That's not at all what I meant. I think it means that, like I said, that you know that guy is going to, oh, okay, here's what we're going to do now. Oh, you're going to make the move to the basket. You're not going to come right to me. And that's where those guys, I think, were going a little haywire. It's like a quarterback, you know, expects his guy to make the break mm-hmm. here and makes the pass there, and the guy stops it and curls or something.
Niang and Hogue had 9 of the 13 turnovers.
Yeah.
Clean it up a little.
Yeah, George is going to have a fair amount because of how much he facilitates and how much runs through him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm sure he'd be the first to tell you that, I mean, he's talked about it at times this year that he's got to clean that up. And five turnovers is a – I mean, I'm sure he took that harder than anyone. I mean, and, you know, I don't think we're going to talk a whole lot about social media today. But, I mean, these guys are – it's a grind. And
you get to this time of year.
They've already given him some pretty amazing moments. And I think they've got a lot more left in him. This is just a rough patch. And I'm sure they're working on ironing those out. I'm interested in how Monte responds after taking those hard hits to the – to the head, and then mm-hmm. I guess it was his tailbone he landed yeah. on.
The first one, I didn't think he was getting up from.
I didn't either. It looked, I mean, and then the second one, you could hear him audibly, you know, kind of not yell out in pain from hitting the floor like that, but got up and hit the free throw. I thought he had pulled it out for them at that time. You know, that was a big time drive.
Oh, yeah.
And finish.
Oh, yeah.
And then after all that pain, gets up and hits the free throw. And then what happened. So
I think I think it's going to be an interesting week just because now you're watching seeding big time mm-hmm. for Kansas City. The one seed's pretty much out of the picture. I mean, it's not. Yeah, actually, I think it is mathematically now, actually. So now you're kind of watching, and Kirk Holland in his preview for tonight's game spelled it out, that, you know, it's possible Iowa State could win its next two and still be a four seed in the Big 12 tournament. Now it's possible that doesn't happen too, obviously. So let me pose you this question. I think we talked about it last Thursday on our radio show. So Oklahoma comes to town tonight. I hate the Oklahoma matchup. I've said that since day one. I liked this Oklahoma team. Especially how they match up against Iowa State. It's scary. They can do everything Iowa State does well, and sometimes they can do it better. They're well coached. They've got some bigs. You know, it's a nice team. Would you rather play, if you're Iowa State, Kansas or Oklahoma in the semis?
Absolutely Kansas. Even though they've got the crowd. I know I've sort of come around that way. I know on Thursday I talked up Kansas. I still think Kansas – you know, they're first place.
Yeah,
they're probably going to win it. But matchup wise, what you said about Oklahoma doing it how Iowa State does it and sometimes better, I mean, that's very apropos. Whereas Kansas is a different team. And I think Iowa State generally matches up a little bit better with them position by position. But at this point, see, this is why this stuff is fun, because this Iowa State team is going to be like all the other ones. Okay, where are they going to be? Where are they going to be seated? I know last year they got the high seed. But going to the tournament can probably beat anybody as long as they don't run into the eventual national champion, which seems to happen just about every year.
No kidding.
But look at the run UConn went on. I mean, all these teams, it's getting to the point now in college basketball where the national champion, unless you have, you know, a stamped in – the preseason prohibitive favorite like Kentucky, and when you look at their roster and what they've done since, how does anyone beat them? Well, you've got teams that just get hot. I mean, Connecticut last year lost by 35 points to Louisville once. I think it was 30-plus points anyway. And we talked about that too. I mean, number 7 seed, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, so – you know, this team is built to go on runs, and as long as the communication issues are worked out, as long as guys stay healthy, as long as Monte's healthy, I'd be shocked. I'll go back to tonight. I'd be shocked if George Niang, non-senior, doesn't have a huge game tonight. I think this is a game that he could have he always has a big impact on a game, but I think he's going to be a principal player in leading to an Iowa State win tonight.
Well, it will be an interesting game. Another game in the Big 12 that I think is worth mentioning because it has a direct impact on Iowa State is Baylor at Texas. Now, the reason that has an impact is, you know, when it comes down to this seeding thing, if you're an Iowa State fan tonight, you want to root for the Texas Longhorns for sure. It's a game where, oh, by the way, Iowa State's a 4.5-point favorite tonight. What have you looked at KenPom?
KenPom, I think, had him in the low 60s percentage, 4-point win or something like that. The last I looked yesterday.
Okay. So then Baylor at Texas, I believe the Longhorns are 2-point favorites now. That thing opened a little bit heavier last night in Vegas. Again, you want for an Iowa State standpoint, you want Baylor to win that game, or you, excuse me, you want Texas to win that game. And another thing you want to keep an eye on is next Saturday. Believe it or not, it's weird how these things happen, but you want Kansas to beat Oklahoma.
Yeah.
At this point, I'm just talking strictly seeding wise for the Iowa State Cyclones. Now that's if you want them in the 2-3 spot. I think that a weird argument could be made that a 4-5 spot might even be better. Not necessarily for the first round, but when it comes to making a deep run down in Kansas City. Do you are you a believer in this Baylor team now, Rob, or is this simply a case where you have a hot team but they're still going to be Baylor at the end of the day?
Boy, we can go back several weeks and I've been impressed with Baylor.
Yeah. I feel like you and I have been touting them heavier than most.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I did not see Royce O'Neal, for instance. He was a guy who was an afterthought on the floor for them last year and even seemingly early this year. Now he's their best 3-point shooter in conference play. He's a guy that goes and gets buckets for him when they need him. And he was a guy that, you know, I know when Iowa State played him in Waco, I was like, oh, if he's going to shoot, that's great. You know, you don't want Prince. You don't want, you know, Cherry making his moves. Medford coming along. You know, the big guys inside, Gathers, Motley. So I'm a believer. I mean, I think that, yeah, I mean, look, anybody can be anybody. You know, that will Baylor be Baylor? I mean, we can go to the point, will Kansas be Kansas when it comes to the NCAA tournament?
Yeah.
Or even the Big 12 recently. So, I mean – I think they're a really good basketball team that's going to give a lot of teams trouble because that zone percentage, I mean, it shows, you know, top 3-point percentage defense in Big 12 play. I mean, it's a tough thing to crack.
I do like Texas tonight.
I think Texas absolutely needing to win and
went out
and doing some stuff in the Big 12. And the fact that, my God, if those guys can't do it now, then, I mean, I still can't fathom how they've struggled as much as they have.
Well, it'll be a fun night. I mean, if you're not going to Hilton Coliseum, you got some really good games, two really good Big 12 games back-to-back that you can keep an eye on. We'll be at Hilton, obviously, but I'll have my DVR running on that Texas and Baylor game. That's a 6 o'clock tip, so you can tune in to that. All right, Rob, quickly before I want to just briefly touch on spring football as it launches today. Don't turn the damn ball over tonight for Iowa State? Cause that's kind of where I'm at with this team. I feel like if they come out and play normal hoy ball at home, they should be able to beat anybody. But, you can't get into the stupid turnovers and that type of thing. I mean, I feel like if they just mentally are there for 40 minutes tonight, they'll beat Oklahoma. If they're not, Oklahoma's going to win in Hilton Coliseum. They're good enough to do so.
Yeah, no, I agree. Mentally, yeah, all 40 minutes, like you said, Deshaun Thomas and Spank, you got to keep them out the offensive glass because obviously that'll fuel your transition. If the Cyclones get it going in transition or are able to negate those guys' ability to, you know, to prolong possessions, second chance points.
It's like Baylor last week. I mean, it's a very similar matchup right now.
And they actually started off pretty well preventing those offensive. I mean, in fact, numbers wise, I don't think it was as bad as it could have been. But, you know, when it unraveled. So keep those guys off, you know, better than usual. And again, run your offense as you usually do. Communicate. I totally agree that they pull it out.
You know, I was worried about at TCU. You know, I think with what's gone down over the last week, they'll be ready to play.
Yeah, they've got too much pride, and I don't think. I mean, they said it on the post game that they thought. Yeah, they pretty much thought they'd had that Kansas State game won. Then they put better pressure on the inbounds, and they thought that was going on for minutes. Though Kansas State was able to force some timeouts and other things. I mean, you know, I'll give them credit. They played hard, but that was Iowa State's game, obviously, leading, 37 minutes and 19 seconds of it. It's funny how situations change where Poyberg touched on what was at stake with Baylor and, well, then what was at stake with Kansas State. Well, now that even more is at stake as much pride as these guys have, as much talent as they have, I think – Yeah. You know, maybe TCU wins because they play great. Mm-hmm. But Iowa State will definitely come to play.
Okay, so, again, it's going to be a short podcast today. We apologize for that. But because we have to get up to Paul Rudd's spring football press conference. It's insane to me that it's March 2nd and we're up there covering spring football. It's the way the calendar fell. I actually called up to Iowa State and asked, why are you starting so early this year? They're doing this deal now where they take the break in the middle. And the way the calendar fell with the academic year and whatnot, here we are on March 2nd. I don't think Iowa State is really, you know, normally I would say, well, you're not going to get as much media coverage. I don't think they really care at this point, and nor should they. You've just got to go out there and win football games. And that comes down to the fact that, as I wrote in a little preview that's on the website now, it's an important spring for the history or for the future of Iowa State football, for not only Paul Rhodes, but for the future of this program. It's a very important spring session that begins today. Yeah. I'm anxious to go up there, and we've got that open practice tomorrow. I'm anxious to check this out.
Yeah, it's similar in so many ways to Rhodes' first spring ball, except he was trying to turn around 5 wins in the previous 2 seasons, clean up what happened under Chizik. Now he's got to help him shake off 2 difficult seasons like that happened, you know, with him as the head coach. I think there are a lot of interesting pieces to this team, but they're so unproven. I think if fans can, and it's a tall order given how the last 2 seasons have gone down, can let go a little bit of their angst and a little bit of their, I don't know, whether it be snide approach to how everything is, it could be sort of fun to see some of these guys emerge. You know, whatever it ends up leading to, I think there's a lot of guys that could do a lot of interesting things. I mean, we've talked about the running, but Michael Warren is going to be a guy to...
I'm excited about him.
Yeah. I mean, by all accounts, he's a tough runner, but he's also a fast runner, and Iowa State needs a tough runner.
Did you agree with what I wrote in my preview that Michael Warren very well could have started over Devondre Neely next year anyways?
I do. Yeah, definitely based on what I heard, too. Yeah. And I mean, let's not forget, he was a guy that came on sort of late in the recruiting process, I think, before Oklahoma wanted him to
grace shirt. It was an academic thing.
Yeah.
And Iowa State took the chance, and he passed. You know, he took care of his business.
Yep. So that's intriguing. You know, the defense is always intriguing, particularly after last season where, you know, too many guys, you know, the depth wasn't there. Too many guys that weren't ready to play had to be put out to play, and we saw what happened, particularly in some of those blowout losses. But yeah, running back there, the JUCOs, I mean, a lot of intriguing storylines, and I think it'll be, you know, exciting to see how it plays out. And, you know, again, with zero expectation, I mean, the expectation is this is it, I think, for a lot of the fan base, that, you know, there's no way this team can get anything going. And I'm sure the expectation in 2009 was there's no way.
Yeah.
It's a long-term process. And some guys came out of nowhere and did something for him. So it'll be interesting. I mean, we can run the odds all we want, and the odds say you don't, you know, rise like the Phoenix after the types of seasons they've had the last 2. But I think we've learned that in the past that kind of when you least expect something, something positive can pop up.
We'll see. We'll see about that. I want to touch on Bill Finnelly's win. Picked up his 600th win on Saturday. Yeah, man, that would have been – if the men could have held off, that would have been a really special Saturday for Iowa State fans, because Finnelly, to pick up his 600th win over Kim Mulkey in number 3 Baylor, he probably wouldn't admit it if he were sitting here with us right now, but I guarantee you that was special. And you could tell just by – I don't know if you watch his locker room speech or anything like that. Yeah. But gosh, I was so happy for not only him, but you know, a guy like Fallon Ellis, who – really has spent the majority of her career at Iowa State as kind of an afterthought.
Yep.
And then this year she's really emerged, and she was probably player of the game on Saturday against Baylor. That was just a pleasure to watch that basketball game. They're in the tournament now, no question. They stamped their ticket. Congratulations to them.
You should have found a way to FedEx that $3 million bottle of scotch that Adam Gray bought you to celebrate the blessed event of your wife's birth, because I'm sure, you know, Bill would have perhaps. Gladly, he would have liked to see it there in a celebratory nature. Anyway, that's such a huge win because they match up. You know, Baylor is, you know, for the last few years, obviously they had Brittany Griner. So it was like, you know, Bentley would always say, well, it's Baylor and it's the rest of the league.
Yeah.
I mean, he was realistic about everything. And they played him tough a couple times, but, you know, usually it was a blowout. And to beat this Baylor team, it's playing well, number three in the country, that's really special. It had to have been just an amazing moment in Hilton Coliseum, given the gravity of it, his 600th win, the way the season has gone, where it looks like, hey, they're rising up, even though Jada Buckley's hurt, and then...
Think about it, though. They've beaten the number three team in the country twice. Nice win over Oklahoma. Road win at Texas. They've had and that's what's so ridiculous, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be this women's basketball version of Joe Lenardi, but there's no way, resume-wise, they're not a top 64 team.
Oh, yeah.
No way. Yeah. I mean, with some of the wins that they have in the toughest league in the country.
That's what's interesting about this team, too, is – it seemed like in the recent years they more or less, you know, yeah, on the road they stumbled a little bit, but would beat the teams that they were supposed to beat all the time. And the teams that they, quote-unquote, weren't supposed to beat, they wouldn't beat home or away.
Yeah.
But frequently. I mean, if there was a reasonably even match. But to, you know, on paper, Texas was a – I know they've struggled a little bit since, but they're still a darn good basketball team. And Baylor, I mean, this team might be built for a tournament run better than the last couple.
I would say it is. I mean, just because they're so much more guard-oriented.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, but I didn't want to leave here today without promoting that a little bit because I thought it was just an incredible, incredible win. It was a great – great crowd, watched it on TV, had the two TV set up going on down in the Williams basement. Bloom was over there. We had a good time watching it. And I'm super impressed by that. So when does the women's Big 12 tournament, is that this weekend? Does it start this weekend?
That's a good question. I believe it does.
Yeah, I think it does too. So, hey, March Madness is here, brother.
I can't remember who their first matchup is. I think I saw them starting to –
Well, they've got a game tonight.
Okay.
The women are at Kansas tonight.
That's right. And then, that can solidify some stuff. But
yeah, and then the seeding should probably be out after that.
Yep.
Want to do a quick promotion. Each and every year I shave my head for children's cancer research. The St. Baldrick's Foundation, we're having our big event in Bondurant on Saturday. This will be the third year in a row I've done this. Going to be promoting it heavily on Sports Fanatics at KXNO, 4 to 7. It's a neat deal. It's a cool event, Rob. I do it for my little neighbor girl, Ava. We put together a team every year, and we raise money. And then the Loshi family there in Bonnerant matches everything that we make. So it's an awesome deal. I mean, the last couple of years, I think we've raised over $100,000 each year.
Mm.
So we're going to do that again. You will see me, Fanatics, promoting this on my Twitter and Facebook pages and all that good stuff. Throughout the week, I would really appreciate it, even if it's just $5 or anything. Anything you can do helps. St. Baldrick's Foundation, too, I'm a big fan of them because the money is actually going to where it should be. It's not some high-priced CEO who's got a $250,000 a year salary or anything like that. So I just wanted to make you aware of that. Leading up till Saturday, I'm going to shave my head at 5. I'll watch the Clones and TCU at 7:30, I believe, is when that game starts. Rob, thank you. We got to head up to Ames, man. Let's go. It's a long day. We're going to cover football, and then we'll get home at around 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, let's hope that freezing rain stays north.
Are we in trouble tonight?
Last I heard this morning was north of Highway 30, so it's right at the
– rut row.
Yeah, it's right at the – but it was going to be blanketing. I mean, it was going to be, you know, icing over well into the Des Moines Metro too, so we'll see. Maybe it all kind of gravitates north.
Keep
tough luck
out
for Mason City.
Yeah, our friends up in like the Belmont area.
Yeah, Marshalltown.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks to the Iowa Clinic, iemencenter.com. He's Rob Gray. I'm Chris Williams. So long.